We read from the Word of God now as we find it in Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. Our text is found in the first 14 verses of this chapter. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham? And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and he said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. And it came to pass after these things that it was told Abraham, saying, Behold, Milcah, she hath also borne children unto thy brother Nahor, Huz, his firstborn, and Buz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Kezed, and Hazo, and Pildash, and Jedlaph, and Bethuel. And Bethuel begat Rebekah. These eight Milcah did bear to Nahor, Abraham's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Reumah, she bare also Teba, and Gaham, and Thahash, and Maacah. So far we read, may God bless this word. The Lord helps us to understand what we read here with what the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to read that now in verses 17 through 19. Hebrews 11, 17, 18, and 19. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. As we contemplate coming to the table of the Lord next Sunday morning, we are to see our sins, we are to see forgiveness, and we are to see within ourselves a firm resolution of the heart to live according to God's commandments, expressing our gratitude to Him constantly for all that He's given to us. The kind of obedience that God required of Abraham is a good example that's set before us tonight as we contemplate and examine ourselves. It's believed, though it's only estimated, that at this time, Isaac is approximately 15 years old. So Abraham, 115, Isaac, about 15. May God give to us the obedience of faith that He gave to Abraham and to Isaac. As we look at this, we got to remember that Isaac was old enough so that his faith was also greatly exercised in this incident. Abraham had to come to a point where he spoke to Isaac about what he believed would happen, namely that God had to raise him from the dead. If God wanted him to be killed as a sacrifice, as a burnt offering, then God would also raise him from the dead. That was Abraham's faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that. And he had to have the opportunity to communicate that, built the altar, laid the wood, and then before binding Isaac, tying him and having him either crawl up and then tie him or tie him and then lay him on that altar, there was a fervent relationship and communication and prayer. That prayer between the two of the, on the behalf of the two of them to God, believing what God would command them to do, they must obey, both Abraham and Isaac. Isaac commanded to offer his son. A most severe trial is what we consider first. The King James uses the word tempt here in verse 1 of Genesis 22, but in Hebrews 11, 17, it uses the word tried. And that's obviously the way in which we have to look at what happens and how we are to understand the word tempt here in Genesis 22. God was not tempting in the sense of leading Abraham into sin as Satan does. But God definitely was trying or testing Abraham. Now, what does that mean? Well, someone said this morning, sometimes we learn a lot about what's right by learning about what it's not. And so when we look at it, this incident, then God was not leading Abraham into sin. Secondly, God was not wanting to find out something about Abraham's faith and the strength of Abraham's faith or the weakness of it. God knew that. Of course God knows that, because whatever Abraham had was a gift from God. God worked that in him. So the strength of Abraham's faith, or the if it had been weaker, the weakness of Abraham's faith, God knew exactly what he had given to Abraham. So God wasn't trying to figure out or needing to know where Abraham was in his exercise of faith. God's omniscient and God gifted. He knew. Well, then, what is this incident all about? Why God try him? Well, the answer to that is not unique to Abraham. This is the daily life of a child of God. We live as rational, moral creatures, created in God's image to possess rationality and morality. God is the one who gifts one with faith, or he doesn't. In Adam, we don't have the right to faith. When God gifts us with faith, then it is God who works that in us. But again, we've said this often lately, not as a mere book or what the canons use as a stock and a block. We're not a chair to be moved around. We're living, rational, moral creatures. And therefore, when God works his work of salvation in us, then he does it as rational, moral creatures. He gifts us with what we don't deserve. He continues to work that salvation in us, because never along the way do we deserve it one way or another, more than another. He always is gifting us all the way through the way. But he uses us and our reasoning. So God gives us the bond of faith, but God then requires us to use that faith. He gives commandments to everybody. Everybody in all the world, love me with everything you have. Many don't have that ability to love. They don't have it at all, because God didn't give them that. God gives to us the ability to have faith. But then it's like giving to someone who is blind an eye. Now we have an eye. Now, how are you going to use that eye? What are you going to look at? You have a voice. How are you going to use that voice? What are you going to use it for? God gifts us with faith. Now, the expression the canons uses in Article 5, is the exercise of faith. Sin doesn't take faith away, but sin does, to use the canon's expression, interrupt the exercise of faith. It interrupts the exercise of it. God looks at us and he says to us as rational, moral creatures, saved by grace, you have the ability to love me. Many don't. You do. Are you going to love me in the morning? Are you loving me right now? Are you loving me in the car when you go home and the kids are making all kinds of racket in the back seat and they're fighting with each other? Do you know what love for me means when your wife or your husband is not fulfilling their calling? They're not loving God at that moment. Do you know how to love God in that moment? In every situation of life, work, in the church, every part, God says, I have gifted you with the ability to do it rightly. I command you to do it rightly. Exercise the faith that I have given to you in every part of your life. think of me. Do what I would have you to do. Remember, I've given you commandments for every second. If you forget me, if you're filled only with concern about yourself, you obviously still have faith, but you're not exercising it. So God tried Abraham. Trials are God-gifted opportunities. God-gifted opportunities still to love him and obey him in love in the most difficult times. We sang it. This is what he requires. On earth, for none other I long, for no one else do I long, but for thee. My flesh and heart falter, but God is my stay. He's the strength of my spirit and my portion for aye. God's purpose in every trial is to teach us and give us another opportunity to look at him, our rock, our strength, our hope. And the activity of faith is like a muscle. The more you exercise it, the stronger it is. The less you exercise it, the weaker it becomes. It doesn't take away the muscle, but God sets before us this command. So God comes to Abraham and he says, take thy son. And look at how God pressed that home. Thy son, thine only son, the only one. There was Ishmael, but there was Isaac, in whom all of thy seed would be called. And then he adds, whom thou lovest. And present him as a burnt offering, very specific kind of sacrifice, that kind of sacrifice that is voluntary. Don't do this because you have to, Abraham. Do this because you want to. It's a voluntary sacrifice, expressing dedication, expressing thanksgiving. Show that you are devoted to me more than to this son, this only son, the son that you love. Do you think more of your love for him or your love for me? He was not only his son, he was not only his beloved son, he was not only the only one, he was the son whose name means that he brought laughter into their home. Joy. That's the one. The one that I have said, not through Ishmael, but through him, are all the promises that I have given to you be fulfilled. When God called Abraham out of Haran in Genesis chapter 12, he gave him promises. In you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, in you and in your seed. And you're going to have as many as the stars of the heavens and the sand of the seashore. How many times didn't God say that to him? But he said it's going to be through Isaac. That's the one, Abraham, take and give him in thanks and in devotion to me. How could God command Abraham to sacrifice him if everything of God's promises went through Isaac? And the answer to that is that God's love for Abraham Well, how does God show his love to you? John 3:16. He gave his beloved, his only begotten Son for you. You did nothing to win that love. You did nothing to earn it in any way, and yet God evidences that love in that he gave his most precious possession. He gave of himself to you. That love that God gives to us, he wants us to reflect. When we truly love him, and every one of us knows when we're thinking that way, then we, in devotion to him, want to give him our best, our all. And the nature of that love that God has for us, that he gave his only begotten Son, is exactly that which requires of us, love me with everything you have. Not part-time, not at special times, and not all the time, but especially when it hurts to give, then love me. God's love is always first. And it's God's love that works love in us for him. And then notice this. It wasn't just that God came to him once and said, Abraham, take your son, your only son, the son whom you love, and give him to me. But God had Abraham think about this for 3 days. For 3 long days. And maybe we can even say, if he's like us, 3 longer nights. I have to give my son. He travels for 3 days with Isaac. And if that wasn't intense enough, there's that moment when they're climbing the mount, and Isaac is laded with the wood, and Abraham carries the pan of fire and the knife, and then Isaac asks, Father, here am I. We got the wood, you got the knife, you got the fire, where's the lamb? Jehovah will provide. Nothing else he could say. And in that answer, you can hear where we're going to end. Jehovah Jireh. The King James doesn't use it that way, but the idea of Jehovah Jireh is Jehovah provides. Jehovah provides. Father, where's the lamb? Where's the offering? The Lord will provide. Hebrews 11 again, this time verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. One, the obvious. Faith exercised. Faith looking at the right thing. Faith thinking the right thing. Faith looking at God. But number two, without faith, I think if I had written this, I would have wrote, without faith, it's impossible to obey him. But God, in his wisdom, wanted it worded this way. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. God wants us to know that the nature of that relationship, that love establishes, is not only that he gifts us with his only begotten Son, but he establishes the kind of relationship that is of such a nature that he's our Father. And the nature of a father to his children is that the father delights when the child pleases him. The father doesn't just look at it as cold obedience. Well, you better do it because you have to, because I told you to. But the father delights when the child obeys. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Without faith, Abraham could not, when he was tried, offer up his only begotten son. When he was tried, by faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. He obeyed. Again, Genesis shows his willingness to obey. God comes to him, apparently in the middle of the night. Sometime, take your son. Well, I've got this to do, and I've got that to do, and I've got this I should be doing, and I've got that, and then I'll obey. Verse 3. Nope, he didn't do it that way. Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass. God commands. My father commands. The God who knows best, the God who is good, the God who cannot command evil, the God whose ways are higher than my ways, the God who still loves me, even when it hurts, he knows best. That God commands. And then I, his child, am ready to obey. Once he set out early in the morning, he didn't turn back. And I wonder if he even hesitated when he had to answer Isaac, or he kept striding, kept going forward in obedience. What was that expression? With firm resolution of heart. He was committed to obey, to do it God's way. With firm resolution of heart. What does faith do? I've already ran through the list. Let's just review it. Faith is the bond that unites us to Christ. Faith says, I hold for truth what God has revealed. But it always starts here. Faith holds for truth what God has revealed about himself. About himself. God. Who is God? He's that being that possesses every perfection, immeasurably and infinitely. You can't ever measure how wise he is, how good he is, how strong he is, how knowledgeable he is, in everything, every attribute, how gracious, how merciful, how just, how holy. He possesses them all. That's the God that now faith says, I know him to be that. That God cannot do evil. He cannot sin. And he can't command us to sin. That's God. And he doesn't ever do wrong, ever, ever, ever. Then faith says to that God, have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I'm the clay. I come to do thy will. I exist to do thy will. Not my will, thy will. Because thy will is always right, and my will is always tainted and depraved. What wilt thou have me to do? Faith enabled Abraham to believe that if God promised, through Isaac shall all your seed be called. Take Isaac and sacrifice him. Even as this early in the history of the development of the truth, Abraham believed in the resurrection of the dead. Job lived at about the same time. He did too. If God wants me to slay him, and yet he has commanded and promised that everything is going to go through him, how do those fit? I'm only here to obey, not challenge, not question, but obey. God will raise him from the dead. That's what Hebrews 11 tells us his faith. Of whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Verse 19, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. What does it mean to rise from the dead? How could that ever be? He didn't know. But he believed it possible. And he believed it had to be. In the power of that faith, he obeyed. There was a must. And he actually sacrificed Isaac. Notice the language of Hebrews 11. He offered him up. And in Abraham's mind, his son was already a burnt offering dead. It was a reality. It was accomplished fact. He had made the decision. 3 days, get up there, sat down with Isaac, communicated with him, prayed with him. We obey, we only obey. And said, and in Abraham's mind, he was already a sacrifice. And that's when God called him, Abraham, Abraham. The knife and arm had to be raised, whether to slit his throat or to plunge it into his heart. He was ready, and God stopped him. Jehovah provided, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will provide. First, can you see Jehovah providing in giving Abraham the strength of the faith to obey? That's where the provision of God for every single one of us is always first. He gives us the willingness and the desire to obey.
So it was a reality. He was going to do it. It was as if it was done. He obeyed. God gifted that to him. And God gives that to us.
Early in my ministry, I had to do two funerals, 2 months apart, of a 20-year-old and an 18-year-old of the same family. A few years later, I'll never forget, there was a conversation about trials and troubles. And that mother, not focused at that moment on what she had lost, but in the midst of a conversation with other women, said something about a trial. I don't know how they could endure that. And there was such a pregnant pause as everybody looked at her and said, "You did. Or maybe better, He gave you the ability." And maybe at this moment, you're not thinking as you should. But He enabled you to think that way as you went through those painful times. He will provide. He never fails. But He calls us to exercise that consciousness of Him and His ability. Once again, sometimes we sing 202 so often that we don't remember or know what we're really singing. On earth for none other I long, just for thee. My flesh falters, but God is my stay, the strength of my spirit, and my portion forever. That's true. And there's been moments in all of your lives, especially the older ones, there's times when you've had to do that and go through that. And that's not going to stop as long as we live in this world. But He who gives you faith will also give you the ability to exercise it. Or to use the words of Philippians 2, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. You work it with fear and awe before Him. Abraham was in awe of God. That's why he obeyed. Be so in awe of Him, you're willing to do whatever He commands in every situation of life. I'm going to do what He wants, and I'm going to want to do it His way. Okay? So loved, I will love Him with my all. God will provide. He works it in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Second, Hebrews 11 puts it this way. Abraham received Him in a figure. He was given his son back. Laughter, Isaac. He received that son that he gave to God. And he would have him to be next to him for further years in his life. And then thirdly, God provided with another sacrifice, another burnt offering, a ram. Rams don't get caught in thickets. But this ram, God had caught in the thicket. And He was able to take that kicking ram and offer him as a sacrifice to Jehovah in devotion and thanksgiving. And that's what God does. God didn't give His only begotten Son for you 2,000 years ago. There's never a day that He doesn't give you His Son. There's never a moment that He doesn't give you his only begotten Son, the Son of his love. It's not about me. It's about him. What he has done is why I want to love him with everything I have in return. When Abraham went back home, he rejoiced. He was happy. Because he had his son? Yeah, I'm sure that's the case. But more so, he thanked God that he could see that God would not try him without providing him the ability to pass the trial or to learn from it. Maybe that's more our experience. We learn from what we should have done. We learn afterwards. God doesn't give the lesson and then the test. He gives the test and the lesson afterwards. But every test in the past is preparation for this moment. And tomorrow, and as long as I live, learn for how at his work in your life up to this point. He's never failed. So when he says, I am your help, I will not forsake you, I will be with you, I will strengthen you, an ever-present help in time of trouble. That's why we started with Psalm 46. That shows us that faith that grabs a hold of that knowledge of that kind of a God in his relationship to you and to me, that faith is the victory that overcomes and enables us to go through every trial of life. We hold to his promises and we trust him. Then he gives us to taste the joy of what it is to be his and not our own. Amen. Gracious God, may we know that the Jehovah Jirahs, even to this day, are still real. And as we read this passage and have it explained and applied to us, may we know Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah will provide in every situation of life. Keep us from fearing. Keep us trusting and obeying. For Jesus' sake, amen.